afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kevin. The best way to get those questions into The Computer Guys here is to give us a call. The number here is 395-1450, and the phone lines are open, so give us a call here. We'd be happy to help you out in any way we could with your computer or technology in general. I'll be happy to do that. You're always welcome to send us an email.
Yep, that's right. It's computerguides@whtc.com, and we check that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer and you want to send us an email, again, it's computerguides@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kevin. In addition to your phone calls and your emails, we'll also be doing some stories. And we would have had a few more stories, but there's been a little robbery here at WHTC from the Computer Guys mailbox.
Somebody has been in the mailbox.
Stole all my stories.
Oh, man. It's a good thing. You see this giant pile I've got going here? I got some stories.
Well, we definitely have some good news here, some interesting stories from around the world of computers and technology. Kev, I have a Microsoft Zune, and I'm happy to say mine was not one of the Zunes that froze up on New Year's.
My brother's was.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did he fix it?
He was playing some music, and I'm like, oh, yours hasn't bricked out yet. And he's like, actually, this is my other one. Because he got rid of his iPod and got the 120 gig Zune,
oh, yeah,
which is the newer model.
Nice.
But his first generation did brick out, so I think it will be fixed.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second here, but first let's take this phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yes. I was wondering if there's any, like, free virus protection that I could download to my computer. Sure. I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
Sure, no problem. Would this be for home use or business use?
Home use.
For
yes.
Home use, sure.
I bought a computer last year and had a one-year virus protection with AT&T Yahoo, but now it's done, and now I'm really not sure, you know, which way to go, so I kind of want to see if there's anything free out there for right now until I can figure out what would be obviously the best for, you know, because basically just once in a while I'll go to a website or pretty much just check my email. That's about
sure.
As computer literate as I am.
Yeah, no problem. Yep. So, well, probably the best one that we recommend that's free is called AVG.
Can I hang up so I can write this stuff down?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, not a problem. Thanks for the call. We've got, there are a number of free ones. Probably the most well-known and probably the most recommended free antivirus for home use is called AVG.
Yep.
And that's free download.
Yep, they make a free version and a paid version. So if you're looking for the free one, make sure that when you actually go download that, they kind of try and hide it a little bit on their website.
They want you to pay for the
paid. It's a little easier to just type, like, free AVG into a Google search, and it'll take you to the section of their website that will get you that product. Another one is Avast, which people have used before with pretty good success. Now, these aren't perfect products. You know, they do have some issues. AVG's had some where they knock out a couple of key files and systems stopped booting after a certain update. And they had a little issue when their new one came out with their web page, basically a security thing that would just cause your web pages to load incredibly slowly. So not a perfect product, but for free, the level of protection is pretty good. So I'd check those out.
Yep, AVG. Go ahead, Kev. Let's take this next call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah, good afternoon. I had saw something on Tech Bargains the other day. It was a link back to Seagate about their hard drives. I think it was Seagate, that they were reducing their warranty from 5 years down to 3 on their hard drives.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
it's heard that or not.
You know, I hadn't heard that in particular, but manufacturers definitely. I mean, they went. It 1 year was kind of standard, and then they started going to 3, and then a lot of them started offering on certain lines going to a 5 year. 5 years is a long time for a modern hard drive,
yes.
Especially in laptops or other cramped environments where they tend to generate a little bit more heat. And the amount of usage that they're getting now with new operating systems and so much digital media. I would be amazed to see a modern hard drive last 5 years.
Right.
So it makes sense to me. My guess is they were getting a ton of warranty claims, and they were seeing failure rates even maybe inside of that. And so they probably said more realistically, let's put it down to a 3. Because on a lot of them that offer that five-year warranty, it's there to make you feel good, but it's probably not going to last 5 years.
No.
So, yeah, I would say definitely don't expect to get 5 years, and three is maybe even on the upper end. We've seen a lot more failures as of late, and it's a little bit disappointing because some of the better manufacturers, we're starting to see those in those brands too. I actually emailed Western Digital the other day just with my thoughts on the higher failure rates that we're seeing. So, hey, thanks for that that update.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
And to the top brands, Western Digital, Seagate.
Yep. Seagate's another big one. You know, and they do a lot of higher-end drives as well that are in a lot of servers. So,
well, Kev, let's continue on with the phone calls here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, I was just wondering, I've had a couple times here in the past few months, I've had this... I guess it comes automatically from Microsoft. Microsoft Update Service Pack 3. And every time my computer get a download on there of that Service Pack 3, next thing you know, my computer's running really slow. So I just delete it back off there, and it runs fine. So what could be causing that? Is that something that is there a problem with that Service Pack 3 that they're sending out, or what's going on there, you think?
Well, for the most part, just about all the computers that we've installed that on have... run pretty much the same, or if not better, once it's installed.
Yeah, it's supposed to increase performance a little bit. You know, it sounds like there's something on your computer that it might be you're just causing some kind of conflict with. Sometimes it could potentially be like a driver for potentially like a printer or a video card or something like that. Mm-hmm. One thing you might want to do is, not sure if you're comfortable doing this, but trying to find out, you know, from either the manufacturer of the computer or the manufacturer of the individual piece of hardware, and updating all those things. If it's like an HP, go to HP site, type in the model number of your computer, and it'll give you all the updates for that. And sometimes they'll say, here's a little critical fix to do before you install that patch to prevent the problem.
Mm.
So what kind of computer do you have?
I believe it's HP.
It's an HP.
Hewlett-Packard. Okay. I couldn't tell you beyond that.
Yeah, it'll be on the tower itself. There'll be a specific model number. It'll be a Pavilion, DV, whatever. Mm-hmm. And type that into HP's website. As soon as you go to HP, it'll say search for drivers and support. You search for that, and it may actually address that specific problem of after installing XP, Service Pack 3, system runs terribly slow. So if not, just go through and update video card drivers, audio drivers, anything else they list on there that's sort of a newer version than what you have.
Hmm. All right. We'll take a look at that once.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
And Kev, one other thought. What about installing Service Pack 3 and then in addition to that, doing all the updates that come out afterwards? Because there are quite a few updates now, and maybe one of those updates afterwards has addressed the specific problem that caller was having.
And that's another possibility. Instead of just after Service Pack 3 stopping, continuing to go back to Microsoft Update and getting everything that they list as being important and making sure the system's all the way up to date and then seeing how it runs.
Otherwise, sometimes possibly, who knows, an antivirus program may be causing some problems as well. But
sure.
Hopefully at least that's a place for them to start. If not, give us a call back. Let us know. Got another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah, I was just wondering, now you're starting to talk about that Zune 120 gig. Mm-hmm. Do you know if there's any problems with them?
It's the first generation Zunes that had the issue.
Okay.
It's not the second generation where they redesigned them. And a lot of these are like the 30 gig models. Mm-hmm. How big did they go in that first generation?
It was
30, go to 60?
And then they did 80. Now it's up to 120.
Okay, so probably the 30s, and a lot of it's specific to the 30s.
It is. I think it's just the 30.
And so it was actually an issue with the leap year that caused the problem. So if you've got a larger one, or if you're thinking about getting one,
yeah, I'm thinking about buying one.
All the newer ones, there's no problem whatsoever. It's a great player, and I you'd probably be really happy with it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep. Thanks for your call.
And actually, Kev, Microsoft's fix for that particular problem with the 30-gig Zune was to let the batteries drain all the way down and restart it. So basically, if that happened to you, it should work just fine now.
Yep. So and it might take a little while to let that battery
drain all the way down. So at this point, I doubt that Microsoft will actually fix the problem because they don't have to worry about it for another 4 years.
Sure.
Till the next leap year.
Well, I'm sure they'll fix it between then and, you know, they want to avoid this from happening again, I would say.
You never know.
But other people have found disconnecting the battery, which is the same as letting it run all the way down, but that does void your warranty if you go inside and actually disconnect it.
But, yeah, as far as the Zune goes, you know, Kev, we've had one for a year now,
mm-hmm.
the 80-gig model.
Yep.
Works great.
There
we've got a ton of stuff on there. It's nice. We've got it hooked up to the stereo at home. Plug it in, syncs wirelessly. All our podcasts are on there. It even does pictures, movies, everything else. But one of the cool things that they came out with is you can actually stream audio. Like, you can go to the Zune store to purchase music and listen to through your wireless network.
Yeah.
It'll stream it. That's just kind of cool. You know, it works well for what we need it to do.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Simple, easy to use, functional.
Well, Kev, speaking of MP3 players, this is halfway related. Hackers have finally unlocked the iPhone 3G.
Oh, that's what we've been waiting for.
2009 has gotten off to a great start for a team of iPhone enthusiasts with little regard for Apple's licensing requirements. And I say good for them. They finally figured out a way to get the phone to work with any cell phone carrier. Now, when they say here, any, I assume that only means T-Mobile in the United States, not just AT&T. The iPhone dev team is best known for their work on jailbreaking, the technique of altering an iPhone so that you can run any application on it, not just those approved by Apple. Given the company's questionable vetting policy for entry to the official App Store, it's not surprising many users approve of jailbreaking. And that is definitely one of the biggest complaints of the iPhone, is that you're only allowed to run applications on there that Apple says are okay.
Yep. And the development process, you know, with a lot of other, you know, mobile operating systems like Palm, that's an older one, or in Windows Mobile, you know, they make it relatively easy to build applications for it. And that's the fun of it, is somebody says, hey, there's something, I really want my phone to be able to do this. Well, if they're a decent programmer, it's not too hard to make that happen. Not the case with the iPhone. Tight control.
Yep. And, of course, some people argue, hey, that's why the iPhone works as well as it does.
Yep.
But some people would also argue, well, that's pretty annoying.
Exactly. Because, you know, the people who are into that, they like a little more freedom than that. That's one of the popularities of open source, is you can kind of make it do things the way you want to. So.
If you're listening and you have any questions for the computer guys, give us a call here, 395-1450. We'd be happy to help you out here. Also, Kev, these are some interesting statistics for you.
Sure.
As we're into the new year now. Is this our first show of the new year?
I believe it is.
So, yeah, we did New Year's last week. So, Happy New Year. Yeah,
that's right. Happy New Year.
And here for some information, the world used 197 million new IPv4 addresses in 2008, leaving 926 million addresses still available.
926 million of V4 addresses.
Yep. And for those listening, an IP address is kind of like a telephone number for your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So 197 million new ones were used, and we only have 926 million left.
Which is the reason why they've released IPv6.
The U.S. remains the biggest user of new addresses, but China is catching up quickly. A possible explanation could be that big players in some countries are executing a run on the bank, so to speak, and trying to get these addresses before or while the getting is good. While those in other countries are working on more of the NAT type of conversion techniques because we have a certain amount of addresses left. Yep. So I'd never seen that quantified before. 926 million addresses still available.
Sounds like a lot.
You know, it really does. With as many people as are online.
926 million, that's a lot. So, but the thing is, a lot of computers that are using the translation techniques that you talked about, that NAT, they're not all occupying addresses. The time may come where all those start to independently occupy addresses. So that could start eating them up much more quickly. Hey, it wouldn't be a week without talking about Google. Google provides magazine clips. Now, there's a place to go for older issues of magazines other than the waiting room of your doctor's or dentist's office. Google is making digital copies of more than a million articles that first hit newsstands decades ago. Dozens of magazine publishers have agreed to let Google index their archives. In return, Google will link to the website of the participating magazine publisher, and Google will also share some of the money to be generated from ads, of course. Among the magazines now available through Google include back issues of New York Magazine, Popular Mechanics, and Ebony. For now, anyway, the magazines can be accessed through Google's service for finding digital copies of books. Eventually, though, magazines can be searched separately.
Also, so, Google now wants to digitally archive every book.
That's ambitious. That is ambitious.
So, Kevin, when you write your book, maybe it could go on
there. Maybe it'll go on there, and then I will have arrived. You know what I'm going to do when I write my book? I'm not going to let them do it. Well, I'm going to take a stand.
Good luck with that. Kev, we have an email here, computerguys@whtc.com. This is from Kathy. She's wondering, she says, the date and time that shows when an email was sent to me is way off. Is there a way to fix that? I have a SBC Yahoo email. For example, it will show an email was sent at 2:06 a.m. with tomorrow's date. And that's from Kathy. The first thing to check is in the, assuming you're running Windows, in the lower right-hand corner of your computer is a clock. If you open that up, you have to double-click on the little clock down there, and that'll open it up. And that should bring up some information as far as the allows you to change the day and the time and everything else. And I've seen it in the past where, for instance, the time will be correct. Right now it's 12:46. Mm-hmm. You could go in there, and it might say 12:46, but your time zone is like, you know, the Netherlands or something, you know, some way off, you know, 6 hours ahead or whatever it happens to be. And possibly that's causing the problem. Otherwise, any other suggestions, Kev?
Well, there might be, too, if you go into the, if you're using the web-based email, if you go into the options of the web-based email, if you go into your general account information, there's time zone settings, and you can go in there, and if you're in the wrong time zone, like you said, you will end up hours off or potentially even days off based on how far ahead or behind you are. So you'll want to make sure you're set in the right time zone, and that's in the account information for Yahoo accounts. Basically, they call it the Yahoo ID card. And on there, it's got a mailing address for you. It's got contact information, all that type of stuff. And in there, you can set your time zone. So two places to check, and that should get it cleared up for you. But that's a common problem people have.
Speaking of numbers, Kev, Firefox share tops 20% for November.
Woo,
first time they've done that.
Getting up there.
The first time since it was they started tracking, the Firefox browser has exceeded a 20% share for a full month. Mozilla's CEO John Lilly gives credit to the Mozilla community and shared his thoughts on the accomplishment. They are obviously quite excited about reaching 20%. Here we have Microsoft Internet Explorer has dropped down to 69.77%. Firefox is at 20.78%. Followed up by Safari at 7.13%. So those are the big three. I'd really just say big two. But you know, a lot of people use Safari. Chrome has almost made it to 1%.
Getting
Opera is below 1%. Netscape and then other, of course.
That's right.
Speaking of Chrome, Kev, I was reading an article on that this morning. And I thought, you know, I haven't used Chrome since they first released that little test version, and everybody laughed at it because it was so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible.
But I installed it today, and I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised.
Hey, there you
go. It's faster than my Internet Explorer on my computer. You know, I didn't have a ton of time to look into it completely, but all the pages I went to loaded up way faster properly than Internet Explorer. Oh, yeah, everything looked just fine.
I'm going to have to check it out again. I might need to get the new version.
You know my thoughts on web browsers. I personally really don't care.
Yeah.
As long as the page loads and I can see it.
It looks right and it responds quickly.
The only thing that I've been excited about was tabs, and that was a few years ago.
Yep.
Other than that,
that was probably the last great thing for me. Tab browsing, that was nice. Other than that.
Well, and built-in pop-up blockers, that was definitely a plus.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. I remember when we had to install Google Toolbar to get a free pop-up blocker.
That's right. That was
Version 2004, 2005.
Before version 6, right? Version 6 included it for Internet Explorer. I think so.
It was 6. Something. It was an
6 and change.
Was it 6?
Yeah, I think it was 6 because it was all the fives that couldn't do that.
Okay.
Speaking of browsers, Internet Explorer 8 is Microsoft is pushing that, try and get that to come out quickly. Basically, they're in a January 6th posting to the Microsoft Internet Explorer blog. Company officials noted that Microsoft is planning to push the final IE 8 release via its automatic update, Windows Update and Microsoft Update systems. To keep the release from being pushed, you have to actually download a blocker. So it's going to come in automatically. And there's also going to be a block. Oh, wait, that's that right. The blocking tool is available. So if you don't want it, you're going to actually have to do something intentionally to not get it. They are talking about potentially seeing the release candidate 1 come out this week as they're prepping things, getting them ready to go. But that's the new version for Microsoft Internet Explorer. We'll see what's next.
I was just reading a little further into this Firefox article. They said there are 4 reasons why Firefox jumped up over 20%.
Sure.
And they're kind of funny.
Okay.
Number 1, the United States election.
Interesting.
It increased because the days surrounding November 4, apparently Firefox is much more popular in other countries. So apparently more people in other countries were online.
It's true. Everybody in other countries hates Microsoft.
Now, this one, I don't.
All those lawsuits are coming out of, other countries.
Here's one. I don't really understand why, but Thanksgiving. We had the Firefox jumped starting Wednesday the 26th until the end of the month. So apparently people were thankful and they decided to get a free browser.
Thank you, Firefox.
Extra weekend days. The average 30-day month has 8.57 weekend days. November had 10.
Wow.
So apparently more people are using Firefox at home, which is the fourth reason, higher unemployment.
Hmm. More people are messing around with their computers and thinking, hey, I'll just download Firefox.
With an increase in unemployment, a higher than typical percentage of people are browsing from home than the office. Typically at work, you use Internet Explorer. And
probably.
More people would use Firefox home. Well, at work, you're less likely to...
Well, if you work in a larger organization, that's administered, they're probably going to stay with Microsoft products because they're easier to control. So,
but anyway, I don't understand why Thanksgiving, other than people are at home.
Could be.
Probably.
Hey, this is interesting. I don't know if you heard about this. Granite countertop, a carpet, a park bench. These are three surfaces that you think would be unsuitable for certain activities a lot of us do every day. Don't get any ideas. We're talking about using a computer mouse. But a new wireless optical mouse from Microsoft is making it easier to use a mouse on just about any surface, ranging from the sleekest to the roughest. The Microsoft Explorer Mini Mouse features what the company calls Blue Track technology. It lets the mouse transmit signals about the surface itself. While it's small, it has an ergonomically designed shape that fits into the hand comfortably. It also has built-in port to store the mini receiver that plugs into the USB port. Once you plug the receiver into the slot on the mouse shuts down, saving battery power. To top it off, it emits a really cool blue glow as you move it across the surface. So, Dave, I know that might be high on your list.
I do like blue lights.
Yep. And if you want to check it out, Microsoft.com/hardware. To check out the Microsoft Blue Track Mini Mouse.
Also, Kev, Steve Jobs was in the news this week. Apple usually is. But, Steve Jobs, who, for the most part, let's admit it here, he is Apple.
The face of Apple, pretty much. Biggest cheerleader, everything
he
else.
He is Apple, that's right. Well, his health has been in question for quite a while. And
lots of rumors flying around.
Yeah, well, if suddenly he were unable to run the company, that would be it maybe not immediately, but long-term would have a lot of effects on the company.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a hormone imbalance, apparently. So they're working on getting that going.
Well, this is all following his, surgery for pancreatic cancer back in 2004?
Yep.
I think it was. And things have been, he's done a lot since then, and he seemed to be doing really well for a while. And now the question
is... It's an odd thing to talk about on the computer, guys, but obviously Steve Jobs being the guy who
he is. For the world of computing, it's a big thing. So he's done a lot of great things, and he's really been... some of the biggest things you've seen, the iPhone, the iPod, he's announced these things and some say brought them into being. So, yeah, it's a big thing.
Speaking of shrinking, the Consumer Electronics Show for 2009 is also dwindling with the economy. It's still there. Yeah. Not long ago,
it's in somebody's garage now.
They haven't gone that far yet. No, we're not having it in your garage, Kev. Sure. Not yet, anyway. Or your basement, but... The popular Consumer Electronics Show, held every year in Las Vegas, is rumored to be shrinking alongside the global economy. The host of CES estimates the number of both exhibitors and visitors will be down in 2009. They expect 130,000 people will attend this year, down 11,000 from last year, and about 2,700 exhibitors are expected to attend, down from 3,000 in 2008. So, still, it's going to be a little bigger than you could handle there in your garage, Kev.
Yeah, a couple of cool things that have come out of that. There's a company called IZ3D. They're showing off a 3D LCD. Mm. So an actual 3D monitor. And they're giving ATI gamers a deal on that. Basically, a 3D capable LCD showing off some prototypes at the CES show. Three prototypes on display. Gives gamers the total 3D effect.
And that would be cool.
They're demoing with flight and racing games that really... put together the experience. 22-inch widescreen, 26-inch widescreen are two.
You have to wear
models.
Fancy goggles for those?
I don't think so. And it doesn't really look any different. Wait, hold on. Okay, yep, they did say to get the full effect, you have to get the glasses. But they say they don't look that dorky. They actually look okay. So that's how you know, really get the 3D effect.
Whenever there's something in 3D, you always have to wear those 1950s
goggles. They say specifically, and you can see the glasses here. Let me actually take a look and see how dorky they look. That's kind of cool. They're not the only ones coming out with the 3D, though. There's a couple other companies. AMD actually teamed up with them on this. Oh, yeah. These look... six different kinds. And they look like pairs of Oakleys. One of them is kind of dorky, and they're actually called dorky. They're called clip-on, which looks like a pair of clip-on sunglasses. Dorky, which are kind of goggly. The Al Capone ones. Sharp. Be Cool. And the...
Come on, isn't there a way that they could make,
they're not
make
dorky.
This without having to wear the goggles?
To get the full effect, I think you kind of needed to do the goggles. I mean, if they're going to do it cost effectively, and they're not that expensive. They're like $400. So it's not that bad.
Well, maybe you put that on your Christmas list for next year.
You going to buy it for me?
I will not.
Come on, Dave.
I thought maybe if you buy me one of these new LG high-def TVs. Yeah, this is another example of blurring the lines between computers and TVs nowadays. LG has launched a new line of HD TVs that will be capable of streaming Netflix videos with no additional hardware.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
So you can stream Netflix now through the Xbox 360 as well to your TV.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I remember hearing about that.
So obviously that's the natural evolution of the video streaming service. Sony, I believe, also does streaming in their Bravia or some of their Bravia HD TVs as well.
Sure. And this is just replacing a little separate box that's available from Netflix to do the same thing, essentially. It's building it all right into the TV. Hey, speaking of LG, last year they at the CES, they revealed the Watch phone. It was a phone and a watch all in one, but it was all behind glass, and so you could just see it, but nobody could touch it. Well, this year they're taking it out of the glass, and they've added some features. So they've demonstrated a real working prototype of the watch. It's got touchscreen interface, 3 side-mounted buttons, Bluetooth speakerphone, and a full-blown music player. And it works at 3G speeds, and people are suspecting it's going to come to AT&T.
Do you remember the Palm watch? The Palm, you know, the Palm desktop? They actually made a watch with the PDA built in.
No.
Yeah? Oh, it was big. I mean, it was...
It's good size. It's not massive, but, you know, to have an actual... like screen that you can use and a touch interface, it's got to be decently large. It's rather James Bondish.
No, James Bond always has analog watches.
Okay,
but he's always got like the little thing that you can choke somebody out. It comes out of the side.
Doesn't he have some sweet watch that shoots lasers and whatnot?
Yeah, they're all analog faces, though.
Are they really? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's time for a new one. Maybe in the next Bond movie, he'll be wearing this watch.
Another example: little computer right on your wrist now.
That's right, getting smaller. Thought your phone was cool. Now your watch is even cooler.
Okay, I've got a couple other interesting stories, but they'll have to wait for next week. The only other thing is that guess, as we play our little fade-out music here, guess what the top-played video game console of 2008 was.
Okay, so we're talking from the three.
All of them. PlayStation 2.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's surprising. Anyway, we'll that music means that. It's the end of another show. If you weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Max Tower Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland. 399 East 32nd Street is our address. That
been
one block.
4 months, Kev.
I know. It happens. You know, it was years and years of the old address.
Yeah.
But that's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31. So you can check out our office there. If you weren't able to listen to the show or if you want to pass this on to your friends, check out the podcast. Type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store, and we'll pop up and you can listen to us anytime you want.
Well, thanks again, and have a great week.